Good evening.
I'm glad to have you all here this evening. Our first outdoor worship of 2024. So welcome all, one and all. Glad to have you here. If you're visiting with us, this isn't how we normally work. We're usually in there, but when it's nice outside, it's Sunday night. We like to be out here. So our first song this evening is number doesn't matter to you. Number 991. This is My Father's World. That seemed appropriate on the first outdoor one. We'll sing all three verses.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, is and the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
We'll sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and following this song we'll have our opening prayer. My pages don't blow away.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Let's bow. Our Father and God, we're deeply grateful that we can assemble outside. We're grateful, Father, for the weather. Grateful, Father, for the presence of everyone. And grateful for those that are online that can hear our lesson tonight. Thankful, Father, for the congregation here, for the talents and abilities that exist within the congregation, for the many good works that are going on, for the pantry and efforts to help others in that way, for the class on learning the deaf language and those efforts and what will come out of it, I hope will be great and wonderful in teaching your word to those that cannot hear. Father, grateful, Father, for the various classes that are underway from time to time, ladies' classes, for the recent women's seminar and the men's seminar to follow in several months. Grateful, Father, for Tim and his abilities to proclaim your will. For Josh and his work with our young people and the recent Lads Leaders program, and hope that work continues to be effective in helping young people learn how to do a variety of things, ladies and young men, and for those young men, certainly training them, and hopefully they're being able to participate in services. But grateful, Father, for that work and parents' involvement with those young people. Grateful, Father, for Greg and his outreach efforts. Certainly be with Mike and his work with our Hispanic work, and hope that work continues to grow. Father, be with Tim Haywood, his work with the college age group. Grateful, Father, for our elders. Grateful, Father, for those of us that are deacons. For many others that work around the building, spending countless hours in a variety of activities, certainly lawn work and work in the building, and the ladies that are involved in sewing a variety of items that frequently go perhaps to Nicaragua and perhaps to other places. Thank you, Father, though, for the talents of many to be involved in just a variety of activities. Father, we're mindful of many in the world that are experiencing wars and conflicts. I learned today of, I'd forgotten about the work, the problems in the Sudan and the humanitarian crisis that is likely to develop very soon there with the displacement of many people and the famine that is growing and certainly could be extremely serious for peoples in that part of the world, and the conflict still going on in that part of the world. Certainly mindful, certainly of Christians in Ukraine and Russia, perhaps fighting each other, not knowing about the beliefs of each. And certainly pray that the conflict there between Iran and Israel and surrounding countries can be resolved in a more peaceful way. But Father, realize there are still other issues in various parts of the world. Certainly, while we realize that India has a democratic government of sorts, still there's conflict for the church in that part of the world, and certainly there's conflict in many other places. Certainly mindful, too, of many that desire to worship and yet experience persecution in a variety of places in the world. Father, I'd like to lift before you the names of some that we pray for, Father, in public as well as in our private prayers. Father, would ask you to be with Jan Shepherd in her recovery, be with Arlene Bannister in the health issues that she deals with, be with Jonathan French, and certainly hope that efforts can be underway that would certainly relate to his recovery rather than having further surgery on his ankle. Be with Bruce and Kelly Brown's daughter and the birth of their child. Be with Wilda Rumba's sister, Patricia, and the problems she has. Be with April Looney and certainly hope that her ankle is not any more serious than it is and she can recover soon. Be with the Ray Markland family and Betty in particular at this time. Be with certainly Joanna Torgerson and allergies that she experiences and perhaps many others like me that experience those kinds of problems also. Be with Jade Vance and her health problems. Father, again, there's certainly others. I'm sure I will leave out many, but certainly be with Doug Booten's father and hopefully in his getting surgery scheduled. Be with Samuel Weisskopfer and his recovery from surgery. And again, Father, there are many others I realize that could be in our prayers. Certainly be with Joyce and Bill Phillips and Alan and Teresa. And certainly continue being with many others that are probably on our minds and our hearts from time to time. But thank you for prayer, Father. Continue to be with us in our service and certainly pray that we can enjoy being together for fellowship and worship this night. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the lesson this evening, we'll sing There Is a Fountain. There is a fountain. Let's stand as we sing this song. We don't sing this one too often, but it goes well. It goes with our lesson. And hopefully my pages will stay. If I stop singing because my pages flip on me, you guys just wait for me to get back to my place. Keep on singing, though. Keep on singing. It's already starting. I can do it.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunge beneath that flood. Lose all their guilty stains. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die.
Please be seated. Our invitation song this evening will be Just As I Am, Just As I Am.
Good evening. There will be a Bible story time tonight if you need to use that facility. They are having a Bible story time. Our scripture reading this evening will be taken from John chapter 19, beginning with verse 33 through 37. John chapter 19, 33 through 37. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it was borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced.
Good evening. Hope everyone's doing well this evening. Doesn't it feel great to be outside? It is a nice, nice day. Oh, thank you. It's just a beautiful evening, and glad to finally be back out. And let me know what you think. If you really like this, then let us know. If you really don't like it, just kind of be quiet. We're going to do it. You can sit in there and listen to me, I guess. But it is wonderful to be out. Just a couple of things before we get into the lesson. Shannon Brown asked me to relay to you his thanks for your prayers. You may be wondering, well, when did I pray for Shannon Brown? Well, we didn't mention him by name, and that was by their request. He's the one that lately we've been saying One Among Us is having surgery. And that was because his mother did not yet know, and they didn't want to get her upset. And finally, they told her about it this past weekend, I think. But Shannon says, thank you so much for your prayers, even though you may not have known it was him. Some of you did, yet the Lord knew. And we're happy to say that things look very good. There will be some more blood work to be done next month, but right now everything is looking like it has turned out just the way it should, with no further complications, and we say praise God for that. So very happy about that, and Shannon wants us to know he appreciates our prayers on his behalf. But it's so good to be with you this evening, and I hope you've got a Bible, either print or electronic, that you'll follow along with me. The first part of the lesson, we won't be in it any, but we're coming to that. And so be ready when we get to that point. A fellow by the name of Andrew Fletcher in 1703, I think there's been a rock music star since then, but this is not that guy. Andrew Fletcher in 1703 made this statement, and you may have heard this. Let me make the songs of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws. Let me make the songs of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws. And the idea is that those who write the songs that we sing, the ones that are very popular and that are catchy, well, they're going to influence us maybe more than the laws of a nation do. There was another fellow, Gordon Wenham, this is much more recent, 2013, in his book, The Psalter Reexamined, says it this way. The words hymn writers and liturgists put on our lips in worship affect us profoundly. They teach us what to think and feel. The more effectively as they are put to music, so we can hum them to ourselves whenever we are inclined. And the idea is that we are very moved by music, the songs that we have learned, and there are several that we would say, well, those are classics. Those are just standards among us. Well, they do move us, and sometimes at night we just sing them to ourselves, or when we're walking along it may be, but they can have a powerful effect. Christians in the year 2024 have a rich legacy of hymns and songs. There have been tens of thousands of songs written through the years that Christians have sung. And out of those tens of thousands, there are some that really have risen to the top, and we consider them classics. Now, I've entitled this short series that we're going to do as Ancient Hymns. This may not qualify as ancient in the technical sense, because the song that we're going to be looking at tonight was written in 1772, so about 250 years old. But still, it's a very old song. It is one that I think it's the one that we sang just before I got up, and it's There Is a Fountain. And we're going to think about the one who wrote the song. We're going to think about the words of the song. But more than anything, we're going to think about the truth that makes this song so great and so appreciated. So let's talk about, first of all, a brief survey of the life of William Cooper. William Cooper is the man that wrote the song. As I said, it was written in 1772. And if you look at his name in print, you may be saying, well, that's William Cowper, C-O-W-P-E-R. But I'm told by those that know, you actually are to say it Cooper. So William Cooper, he was born in 1731 to John and Ann Cooper. He and a younger brother were the only two of seven children that survived past infancy. His father was a clergyman in the Anglican Church in England, and yet his father's sister was a poet, and maybe that's where William's love of poetry and his ability to write rhyme came about. When he's only 6 years old, his mother died. 54 years later, he was given a photograph, and it may have been the first time he had ever seen a photograph of his mother, and maybe at the age of six he couldn't remember what she looked like. But he wrote a poem on that occasion, On the Receipt of My Mother's Picture. He was sent to boarding school after she died. His father intended him to have a career in law, and yet that's not what was on his heart. He had no interest in law, and therefore didn't really take to that. He had a brief time where he fell in love with a cousin, and their relationship actually lasted for 7 years, but his father said, it's not right. You're too closely related, and therefore that ended that, and Cooper never married. The real struggle that Cooper had was with depression. I'm talking clinical depression, although that terminology was not around at that time, I don't think. John Piper wrote a book back in, a few years ago, about 20 years ago, called The Hidden Smile of God, talking about various people that have suffered various things and yet have done amazing things. And Cooper was one of those he profiled. Piper said this, in 1752, he sank into his first paralyzing depression, the first of four major battles with mental breakdown, so severe as to set him to staring out of windows for weeks at a time. That's pretty severe. Had just disconnected from the world and just looked out the window for weeks at a time. And struggling with despair became the theme of his life. In 1763, he was committed to St. Albans Institute Asylum after attempting to take his own life. He had done it three times, and they finally decided he needs to be put in a place where he can be helped. And so that is what took up much of his life in his earlier years. And there were other times Cooper tried to take his own life, but he never succeeded in his plans, we're thankful to say. But he struggled with his depression until his death in 1800 at the age of 68. Now, a turning point in Cooper's life was when a friend stepped in. When the fellow that he had been living with died, a friend who was a clergyman himself, John Newton came to town. You may recognize that name, John Newton, the man that wrote the song Amazing Grace. John Newton invited William and the wife of this clergyman that had died to come and live in his parish, and that's what they did. They came, and Newton kind of took over as a mentor. He was a great influence on Cooper. He helped rescue him many times from depression and trying to harm himself, and he urged him to use his poetic abilities. He said, use that ability to write hymns. And that's what Cooper did. And we've already talked about one back in 2018. You remember that sermon very well, I'm sure. That song was God Moves in a Mysterious Way. One of the great hymns, in my mind, one of the great hymns of the Christian tradition. And the one that we're going to be looking at tonight is There is a Fountain Filled with Blood. Those songs appeared first in the Olney Hymnal, O-L-N-E-Y, the Olney Hymnal, which was published in 1779, which also was the first time that Amazing Grace was published. So that's pretty good company, I would say, wouldn't you? William Cooper's song was in that same book. But it's kind of odd, isn't it, that a man that was so heavily afflicted by mental depression often tried to take his own life, yet produced such marvelous, amazing works, including what we're going to be looking at this evening. And let me just remind you of the words of the first verse that we sang tonight. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Let's talk about that hymn, but more importantly, let's talk about the biblical truth behind that hymn. Were there not truth, there'd be no need to talk about it other than just as music appreciation. But these are ideas that are very close to our hearts and very central to our faith. So let's talk about the biblical truth proclaimed by the hymn. Now, the key scripture for this hymn has to be Zechariah 13 and verse 1. Go ahead and start turning to that. If you're using a print Bible, try hard. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 1 and then go backwards two books and you're in Zechariah. That's the easy way to find it. But Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 1. And there's some imagery here that's kind of hard to understand, and until Christ came along, impossible, you might say. But listen to what Zechariah 13 and verse 1 says. On that day, there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. To cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. Let me read it again. On that day, there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. What in the world could that have been talking about? You probably recall that for a long time, the idea of the fountain of youth has captured the imaginations of many people. Ponce de Leon was one that went out in search of that elusive find. And the idea was, here is a fountain where if you plunge in, you will come out of it much younger. And if there were such a thing, do you think there would be a long line waiting to get into that pool? I dare say there'd be a very long line, and you probably have to book reservations months in advance. But that doesn't exist. But what we're talking about does exist. And yet, what are we talking about? Well, let's talk first of all about the problem of sin before Christ. Because after all, this fountain was opened for the purpose of cleansing sin and uncleanness. That was a problem during the days of the law of Moses. Of course, you know about the various sacrifices that were mandated by the law of Moses, various things for various sins. There's also this. Look at Numbers 19 and verse 9. It's a kind of a strange ordinance in the law of Moses. It begins by talking about finding a red heifer. And then when you find it, you burn it, and you do this with their ashes. He says in Numbers 19 and verse 9, and a man who is clean, ceremonially clean, that is, shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and deposit them outside the camp in a clean place. And they shall be kept for the water of impurity for the congregation of the people of Israel, It is a sin offering. And so there were all kinds of regulations like that because people back then, like people today, sinned. It's a problem. The problem is, what do we do about it? And before Christ, these are the kinds of things that God had revealed, but they were not the ultimate. Now that takes us back to Zechariah. Let's go back there again for just a couple of more passages. Let's again remind ourselves of Zechariah 13 and verse 1, because the prophecy says this about something that would happen in Jerusalem. On that day there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. And before we start talking about what that might refer to, let's help ourselves by backing up about five verses into chapter 12 and verse 10. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, and there's this interesting statement. I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Here we are again in Jerusalem. I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn. That looks very odd, doesn't it? Zechariah is speaking as a prophet. He is speaking for God. And did you catch that where it says, they will look on me, on him whom they have pierced? Really? God? They're going to pierce God? What do you mean by that? And as we've said, for a few hundred years, all they could do was scratch their heads and try to come up with explanations. That's why we went to John chapter 19 in our scripture reading tonight. Let's go back to that now. John chapter 19, because here John unlocks the mystery. John helps us to understand this thing about the opening of a fountain for cleansing and about this piercing of me, the one that they shall pierce. John 19, and let's look at that together in verses 33 through 37. But when they came to Jesus, now the Jews had demanded, it's time, you know, it's getting close to dusk, and the bodies have to be taken off the crosses because it's the Passover, and so the soldiers were going to have to break the legs of those that were still alive. But, verse 33, when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he know he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place, that the scripture might be fulfilled, not one of his bones will be broken. That was a reference to the Passover lamb. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. So John says that's what Zechariah 12:10 is all about. The piercing of Jesus by the spear the soldier had in his hand. It's not a pleasant thought to envision in our mind, the piercing of Jesus' side. It was also already a gruesome scene. And yet the spear going into his side opened a fountain, you might say, because out of that wound there flowed water and blood. Blood, the very vital agent, of course. That opened the fountain, and then they mourned for the one that they had pierced. Hebrews chapter 9 gives us a little more explanation. This is, of course, after Jesus, a few decades after Jesus. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14, and it helps us to understand why this had to be. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. When Christ appeared as a great high priest of the good things that have come. Now, remember, Christ is of the tribe of Judah. He can't be a priest under the law of Moses. And that's why the writer had talked earlier in this book about him being a priest after the order of Melchizedek, a new order of priest. When Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. That's what he was doing. He was going into the Holy of Holies to offer his own blood as an eternal atonement for our sins. Verse 13, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So there the writer says, in a very compressed passage, Jesus did what could not have been done effectively forever. I mean, what the priest did in offering those animal sacrifices was the will of God, but it was not the ultimate answer. It could never pay the price for sins. And so Jesus, by shedding his blood, by allowing that fountain to be opened in his side, that's when he gave his life. That's when his atonement was made for our sins. In fact, listen to Jesus himself talk about this in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verses 27 and 28. We often look at this passage as we're preparing to observe the Lord's Supper. Jesus says this when he comes to the cup. He took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. For the forgiveness of sins. And again, the blood of Jesus, that fountain that was opened for cleansing of sin and uncleanness. Jesus himself makes that point. And then John, later in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, another passage we've heard often referenced. 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9, because here is perpetual cleansing. Not just at the moment when we are baptized into the death of Christ, but as Christians, when we sin, the cleansing continues. He says in verses 7 and following, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And notice again, he said in verse 7, it is that blood that cleanses us of our sins. So Jesus on the cross, that was the opening of the fountain. That was the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy in Zechariah 13 and verse 1. And what a blessing that is. And just one more passage to really understand this idea. Go to Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14. Here we have another scene in heaven. And John has shown this multitude of people in white robes, and he's asked, who are these people? And John responds, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They have made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. Again, that's what cleanses us. That's the fountain that was opened for cleansing of sin and uncleanness. In Acts chapter 22, verse 16, Saul of Tarsus, Paul, at this time, he is saying, here's what happened. He's telling a group how he came to Christ. And he tells about how he was struck off of his horse on the way to Damascus and blinded by the light. And then he was told, go into the city of Damascus. Somebody's going to come and tell you what you must do. So Ananias shows up. Ananias, we learn in Acts chapter 9, was sent by Jesus. And Ananias says these words in Acts 22, verse 16, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. The blood of Christ cleanses our sins. How do we contact that blood? Well, Ananias says be baptized and wash away your sins. That formula has not changed in 2,000 years. The formula is still the same. And those among us tonight who have never obeyed the gospel, your sins are still on your account. That's a very dangerous place to be. And yet Christ came so that you could be rescued from danger. He came because he loved you. He wants you to follow him into the best life possible. And if tonight you have not yet confessed your faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you've not yet repented of your sins and decided to turn away from them and to be baptized, then tonight we urge you to make that decision. Let's do it. While we're together, while we can all rejoice together. And if you have done that and yet you have wandered away, you know you have sin on your account, the blood is still flowing. The blood is still available for you if you will confess your sins, turn away from them, repent of them, and pray for forgiveness. And we're here to pray with you, to help you any way we can. So if we can help at all, we urge you to come as we stand together and sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken many a barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come.
Please be seated.
Robin McCloy comes forward this evening to ask for our prayers. Robin says she's not been the way she should be with her husband at times. Sometimes she gets impatient and yells at him. I don't know of any other spouses that have ever been guilty of that, but she, everybody come forward. But Robin knows it's not the way it should be, and she wants us to pray with her about that. She wants to say she's sorry to her husband, Michael, and I admire her for that, and we're going to do that. And it will help all of us to look at ourselves and maybe say to God, Lord, I need your help too. I need to do better. Robin also is having a few health issues, nothing serious, but enough to kind of make her feel down at times. But what a delight it's been to get to know Robin and Michael and their son Jordan. They've been a blessing to this congregation, and this is another example of that blessing. So we're going to go to God in prayer on Robin's behalf. Our God and our Father in heaven, we do praise you, Lord, for your greatness. We just love being with you, whether it is out in your creation or inside a building. The important thing is that you're with us always. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for Jesus, your Son, who gave us that ability to know that we're always in your presence. And we want to be there in eternity, Father, in heaven. And Father, we come before you confessing that we're not the people we ought to be. And Father, tonight Robin has shown courage in expressing her need for forgiveness, for words and attitudes that she's had toward her husband at times. And Lord, we pray that you'll forgive her of whatever that might be, and that you'll give her the strength to do better. Help her to think before she speaks and acts. And all of us, Father, who struggle with similar things, help us that we might take this time of encouragement from Robin to look at ourselves. But we thank you for Robin and Michael and Jordan. We thank you for all those that are present tonight. Lord, just bless us. We need your help. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord's Supper remains prepared. If you were unable to partake this morning, it is still the first day of the week. If you need a communion set, if you'll raise your hand, honk your horn, flash your lights, whatever, Tim will get you one right now. Does anybody else need another? Just raise your hand. We are going to sing He Paid a Debt.
He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid that debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. And now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. One day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day. I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you do. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful weather. Thank you for allowing us to worship outside. Father, most of all, thank you for sending your Son Jesus down on the cross for our sins. Without him and that body that was broken, we would not have hope and eternal life with you. Father, we ask now that each one of us examine ourselves, bring our minds back to your Son and the sacrifice he gave. Father, please bless this bread that represents the body that was broken for us. In Christ's name. Let's go to our Father again in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you again, continuing this prayer, Father, that we ask that you bless this cup that represents your Son's blood that he freely gave on the cross for us, that now washes away all our sins and makes us pure and holy and white as snow. Father, we ask that we partake of it in a manner that is worthy and pleasing unto you. Forgive us our sins, in Christ's name. Amen. That concludes the Lord's Supper. At this time, we've also set aside as a matter of convenience to take up an offering. Due to the wind, I highly recommend we bring the basket inside if you have any offering to give. We'll bring that inside. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you again. Thank you so much for all the things you have richly blessed us with. Father, we ask that you guide us always and bring us back together at the next point in time, Father, but also as we go about our daily lives, let us be good stewards of what you've given us. Father, let us use that wisely to further your kingdom, Father. Let us use not just our monetary, but also our talents that you have given us, Father, to further your kingdom as well. Father, we ask that we do all these things in a cheerful and giving heart. We ask that you be with us always. Give us wisdom and give us direction. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we just want to thank you again for this beautiful afternoon and the opportunity that we have to gather together and to praise and to worship you. Dear Lord, we want to thank you again for Robin and her courage and humility to come forward and to ask for prayers with the church. And dear Lord, we just pray that you will strengthen and encourage her. We know that you will provide everything that her and her family needs. Dear Lord, as we prepare to depart from here, we want to thank you for your Son, who in your wisdom and your mercy, you gave us a Savior who understands us, who understands our worries and the pressures and the temptations that we face here in this world, and a Savior willing to go to the cross to shed his blood, that provides us the freedom from sin and from death, and the blood that gives us the certainty and the hope that regardless of what is happening in this world and around us, that we have a home with you for eternity. Dear Lord, because of these many blessings you've given us, we pray that grace and mercy, that it's reflected in how we conduct our lives as we leave here And we pray that, that others will see that and that others will come to know the many blessing and gifts that you give us freely. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. I don't believe there's any announcements, so we're dismissed. Thank you.